Welcome to the podcast, Doctor to Doctor, with Dr. Paul Anderson, answering questions and discussing relevant topics in medicine. So today on podcast number 8, we're going to talk about stool testing and when you might need to do a biofilm prep for the stool testing, because this is a really, really common question that I get, and it's covered a little bit in the webinar, but not in super great detail. So I thought I'd throw this in here and talk about it. So I think the first thing is, why would you even consider doing this? Well, one of the biggest reasons is that biofilms are probably most common in the digestive tract, which is where they start. And so if you're looking for reasons that an occult infection, you know, would exist, or that your testing would be not as sensitive as you would like, etc., that's a huge, huge reason for it right there, would be biofilms in the GI tract. But specifically, when would we like to do this sort of testing on somebody? Well, the first category of people, which is a little bit of a coin toss, because on the surface of it, it doesn't really seem that you need this at all, and so you may not, but that would be somebody who's very acute with GI symptoms, and you're going to do biofilm testing, but you're just, they're so acute that you're going to do a stool test. And if people are that acute, especially if you're doing like the, you know, one of the standard labs, acute diarrheal illness panels or something like that on their stool, you may not need it if, you know, if they have Giardia or something like that. The other side of that coin, though, is if they are acute and you don't see a result that you're looking for on the test, it can be that you can have some acute things with biofilm overlay and you don't get the test, you know, test sensitivity isn't going to be that high. So that's one thing. The next thing, though, is there's somebody that doesn't have a lot of signs and symptoms, but maybe they have there's a concern that you have over their gut flora and dysbiosis. And so their symptoms may be a bit nondescript, but they may have other things going on. And so in people like that, you may want to do a biofilm prep, just because they may have a lot of suppressed activity that's going on. And we'll talk about what that means. The biggest area where I see it are your chronically ill people, especially if they have had a negative stool test in the past. And so what I have noticed is that by doing biofilm prep on people who are chronically ill, our yield for what we get out of their stool testing is much higher. And I think that that's very important to keep in mind. So if they've had negative tests and they've got symptoms, or they're chronically ill of any stripe, if you're going to put the money into doing a big type of a stool test, then I would definitely recommend doing some kind of a biofilm prep with that patient. So what does that mean? Well, in general, you can kind of go up the scale of biofilm agents. And if you recall, or if you've heard the biofilm webinar, which we have a link to a free version of it in the show notes down below, and there's a bunch of other things on the in the links below that are free, you know, that you can look at as well. But if you remember, with biofilms, there's sort of an escalating type of agent. So there's phase one agents, which are things like enzymes and aromatic herbs, et cetera, et cetera. And then there's things in the middle that are kind of stronger, that might get in there, such as, like biocidin and some of the other mixed things. And then there's the bismuthiol compounds, which are either like priority one has a biofilm phase two, or you can get a prescription version as outlined in the slides and in the biofilm webinar, if you are looking for that sort of thing. So you can really do any of them. Now, one of the more versatile things, people will think about bismuth certainly, but a really versatile thing are going to be monothiols. And so I have used NAC and ALA usually individually, not together, as biofilm prep with a lot of people. And that in and of itself is useful because they're sort of in the middle. Now, here's the thing. So you got aromatic herbs like oregano and olive leaf and, you know, and thyme and stuff like that. If they're already on a bunch of aromatic herbs and you're still getting negative effects on their stool testing, you're going to need to kick it up and either use a bismuth thiol compound such as the prescription one or the one from Priority One, Biofilm Phase 2 in Canada. I forget the name of the company, but they have the same basic formula that they're making up there as well. And it's a bismuth and a thiol stuck together. That's what you really need to use if they're on aromatics and enzymes and you're not getting anything out. Because if they're already taking it, there's no point in trying to be on top. If the person's really not on a whole bunch of anti-infective stuff or enzymes or whatever, or if they are but they're low dose, I would too. If you want to use NAC, for some reason I think NAC might work better than ALA, but that's just a guess. I don't really know. I've used them both. NAC, I will generally use 500 to 1,000 milligrams twice a day, and I will have them do that prep for anywhere from 1 to 3 weeks before they do their stool test. So who would be 1 week? Who would be 3 weeks? It depends a little bit on the patient's tolerance and how much you think they're going to do it. But the other thing is the longer they've had trouble and the more of a critical value you think you need, such as a person that's had 2 or 3 stool tests, they're all negative, but they got all kinds of GI symptoms, that person really needs a higher level prep. I might do, you know, 2-3 weeks with that person. Somebody who's just chronically ill and they've never had any testing before, it's been a long time, maybe 1 or 2 weeks. If they're going to do NAC, like I said, 500 to 1,000 twice a day for, you know, 1 to 3 weeks. If you're going to do ALA, I would usually do 300 to 500 twice a day for, again, the same amount of time. If you're going to use something like Biosolve, which is the prescription version, you would generally do like 1 to 2 weeks. And normally we kind of rotate that, but in a test prep, we just do it straight through. If you're doing Biofilm Phase 2, the OTC thing from Priority 1, I would again do probably 2 to 3 caps a day. Again, full glass of water, all the stuff from the webinar, away from food for 1 to 2 weeks before you do it. If you're doing Biocidin, I do a dose 2 or 3 times a day, again, for 1 to 3 weeks. But what I have found just clinically is that really increases your yield on these stool tests. Now, something to keep in mind, if you're using either bismuth or a bismuth thiol compound, remember to warn your patient it will turn the stool black because that's just what bismuth does. And so if you're using a bismuth or a bismuth thiol complex, bismuth thiol much stronger than plain bismuth, but either way, you're probably good to do their 1 to 3 weeks and give them a few days of so-called washout and then test them. So testing types. Now, remember that there's microscopy, culture, and then genetic, like PCR type testing. So what we want to think of is if you have somebody and they're super symptomatic and it seems acute, and like I said, you want to do the acute diarrheal panel from, you know, Quest or LabCorp, you're probably good to go. If you're really looking for a bunch of stuff, like you want to see bacteria, fungus, parasites, etc., then you probably really want to get a broader test. And so I prefer with those any company, and you know, it used to be there was Doctors Data and Genova did these types of tests. Now there's many, many places, but you want something with different probes into the problem. So then by that I mean, you want something that's got a microscopy portion, you want something that does culture, and you want something that does some PCR as well if you're really going for it across the board. So you want to keep that in mind too. So those are the testing types, but bottom line is, it's pretty easy and most people will tolerate, something straightforward like NAC or ALA. And I have found just as a, you know, you're not sure if they've got biofilms or how bad it is, it's not going to hurt them to take a thiol unless they're allergic to thiols. And so I add those in, and I do them for 1 to 3 weeks before, and then give them a few days so-called washout, and then have them send it, collect their stool. And I truly believe that that improves your yield, and that's what I've seen clinically. So that's why I wanted to make this rather a little bit more brief than our normal podcast about this, because it's a super, super common type of a question. Well, thank you very much for listening. We'll be back with some more fun and excitement coming up in the future. Thank you. Thank you for listening. This has been the podcast, Doctor to Doctor, with Dr. Paul Anderson. You can find us online at consultdra.com. Consultdra.com. We'll see you all at the next podcast. And please remember, the views expressed on this podcast are those of the speakers alone and should not be construed as medical or healthcare advice. Thank you.